Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute, the premier online resource for discovering smarter ways to create and sell your own profitable digital products and services. Our value-rich charter membership offer ends November 6th, 2015. Find out more at digitalcommerce.com. That's digitalcommerce.com.
This is The Mainframe. Welcome back, everyone. This is our final episode in the membership series. Today, we're talking about building community glue. How you doing there, Chris?
I'm a bit sad this is the last episode in this series. It's been a good series.
Yeah, it has. And it's funny because originally we intended it to only be a few episodes, but a lot of this stuff really requires some more in-depth knowledge because we've been doing this for so long. These experiences that a lot of people don't talk about, we wanted to make sure that we covered.
Yeah, I think a lot of the software out there makes it seem like a community is all about technology. But as we've been digging into over the series, there's a lot of psychology involved.
There is. I mean, the whole concept of building a membership site, a lot of it is built on community. And whether that community is just you and your members, say you're providing them software and that's your mechanism for connecting with them, or you actually have community members that engage with one another through forums, through, you know, community support, that type of thing. You need to always look at it as a community of sorts, no matter what type of membership site you're putting together.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we're oversensitive to this kind of thing because we come from the nerd communities that tend to be hostile with each other. But community and bringing people together, it's not always obvious, not always easy, and there can be friction involved. And the more you can have strategies that set it up right from the start, the better it's going to be long term.
Let's talk about the initial thing you have to think about when you're putting together any type of community, and that's developing belonging, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like a warm and fuzzy thing, but it's actually solid business. People want to belong, first of all. And secondly, if you're building a community, of course, people are going to need to want to belong to that. Otherwise, it's not going to sell. You're not going to grow that business. So it's not a wet thing to think about. So are people going to feel welcome? That's the first thing. Are you actually welcoming people into this community? Or is it feeling hostile and intimidating and something people need to break into?
Yeah, the whole idea of welcoming people in carries on into how we need to think about this as an inclusive community, right? So we use words like we when you're talking about, we're talking about all of us together and how we're going to engage together in the content or the software or what it is that we're providing.
Yeah, and there's always going to be somebody who wants to be the hero and center of attention. That's not a we thing. The we element has to be there. People have to feel part of a group rather than several selfish individuals. Otherwise, the cohesiveness breaks down and people start competing. So you need to eliminate that. And one of the ways you can do it is by the words you use. Another way of doing it is through having good orientation, which we've talked a lot about in the past. But the orientation can set the tone.
Yeah, it's important to set that tone right off the bat. We've seen this with every community we've provided, and you need to make sure that you stick to the rules because that's the other thing that people want is they want a sense of cohesiveness to the community. So once you've established those rules, you create your orientation so that everybody is on the same page. And then you allow the community to kind of come in and help, you know, bring this new user up to speed. And a lot of times it's helpful to have sort of a buddy system or, you know, welcoming moderators that come in and get everybody ready to be part of the community, right?
Yeah. If somebody is recognized as a newbie, then instead of everybody stopping and staring or ignoring, then welcome them. And everybody appreciates that. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be noticed. And we want to be brought into the fold. These small things can add up to big experience boosts. And related to that is new people have questions that have been answered thousands of times. You should implement a policy that there is no such thing as a stupid question. I do that with our team, with everybody I meet. I think I can learn something from everybody I can meet, but I don't like it when people feel stupid for asking a question. The only stupid question is the one that you don't ask and want it to.
That's true. And that sounds cliche, but you really can't learn if you can't ask questions. And if your community has this aspect of, well, that was a stupid question, people aren't going to learn. They're not going to feel like they're progressing. So it's a good way to establish that if you want to learn, we're welcoming to this community and you can ask anything you want and we will do our best to answer it. And by doing that, you establish a way of thinking that allows people to kind of set an example for everybody else, right?
Yeah. So obviously you can have frequently asked questions, you can have sticky posts, but the point of the community is that people interact. And I've seen so many times when people have asked a question that's been answered a million times, but people are still nice about it, a good conversation can happen. And that's what you're there for. So on the nice Reddits, you know, there's subreddits that are hostile, some that are nice. On the nice ones, people will talk about things that have been talked about for, well, in the case of Doctor Who, decades, right? They still talk about Tom Baker, even though he's the fourth Doctor, and find fresh ways to discuss it. So I think anybody that stamps on any question being asked usually has a lack of imagination.
Exactly. And then there are going to be those people in the community that sort of demonstrate that they're there to help welcome people and help them to learn what it is you're doing. And so by having that example, you can provide rewards to people that are there to help out, right? That's another great way to kind of foster that community.
Yeah, and the big rewards and the small rewards. The small rewards is just things you learn in kindergarten, saying thank you and acknowledging and saying, you know, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that this person's been really helpful, all the way through to the fact that I work from Copyblogger was partly because I was helping out in the Third Tribe community. John Morrow became an editor of Copyblogger before he went off and did his massive own things because he was helpful in the teaching sales community. You can get a lot of rewards by being super helpful and visible in a positive way in communities. So you need to look at it the other way and reward people who are doing that. How can you give somebody some kudos at one end of the scale all the way through to actual rewards at the other end of the scale? My forum moderator, back when I was running Authority Blogger course regularly, she was entirely volunteer, but I used to give her as much as I could because that was a vital contribution. You've got to recognize those.
That's true. And up until now, we've kind of been talking about the membership site as a community as a whole, but Let's switch gears for a moment and talk a little bit about forums specifically, because forums are sort of one aspect of a community, and how they're handled really can make or break the entire membership site.
Yeah, forums can be a lot of hard work and they can be rewarding. And when we talk about forum, we don't mean necessarily just that specific type of software. It could be an email discussion list or it can be a Facebook group. But when we're talking about forums, I always encourage people to start small, start with one or two topics and then grow from there. I've seen so many people start a forum with 20 different topic areas. It's intimidating. There's no comments in any of them. It looks like the forum's empty and then people go away. So start small, get some really good discussion. And then as the topics split off, you'll know what topics need to be. And then you can start growing from there, right?
That's true. And once you've established a forum structure and topics, you need to make sure that people kind of stick to it, because that's another thing that can happen is, you know, forums can get derailed by conversations going all over the place or not focusing on what's there. So, for example, if you have a membership site that is about software, but you have a forum that's not for support, that forum is for strategy, for example, and people start asking support questions, it completely changes the tone of the entire membership site and the entire forum, because now people are looking at it not so much as a place I can discuss strategy, or but this is where I come to get support. Or on the flip side, if you have a support forum and it's designed for very specific technical questions, but people are asking more strategy questions, it can derail that particular forum topic. So you need to make sure that you have specific places for all the topics and a general off-topic place where people can just discuss something that's more general. And maybe that's not something that is followed as closely, but the community may find that it's a good place just to kind of get together and water cooler talk, but it's not something you have to be monitoring all the time for specific questions being asked.
Yeah, those water cooler topics are where people really get to know each other and people's personalities can come out in full. And it provides extra glue. So we're talking about keeping it happy and welcoming and building actual community. That glue comes from the interactions, the things that people have in common, and the fun that people have. So you don't necessarily have to make it all serious. Just give people a place. So it's like the water cooler. It's like the coffee break room. It's for the smokers. It's the smokers area. Give people an area to chit chat outside of the main topic areas.
And when you're talking about creating that welcoming thing, you want to start right at the beginning in a forum, right? With encouraging people to you know, give introductions, introduce themselves, and really get to know the different members in the community, both you and your staff and those other members of the community that are there to help and kind of help grow the community, right?
Yeah, I think introduction threads are very good. They can get noisy, so you might want to start several so that they don't get too big. It allows people to look up each other, find out a little bit about them, especially when somebody's answering a question. It's nice to see who it is and a bit of background. But it actually teaches the forum software. The act of creating that post might be their first post. It might be the first post ever in any of this software. So it allows them to get to know how to set up their avatar, set up their forum signature to post and what you're allowed to post. And then obviously on a social side, it allows people to get to know them, welcome them, for them to feel welcome. So there's a lot of things combined in that introduction thread. But at the very least, it's a way of putting a bit more than a nickname and an avatar to a person.
And as they get established in the community over time, you're going to find people tend to rise to the top and become more moderator types or just helpfuls and be people that enjoy helping others. And those are the kind of people you want to promote to key kind of roles in the forum, right?
Yeah. And as we said, the forums can be a lot of hard work. It only gets more hard work as the forum grows. If it becomes popular and successful, then you're going to need help. And it doesn't always have to be paid help. And they get the rewards in other ways. One of the ways is by being called a moderator. There's an esteem boost by being given an important title. And some go to town by giving people really fancy, cool names. But just by seeing that somebody has been around a while, that can give people a seniority benefit. Now, some people will abuse it. So you've got to be very careful to be very choosy. But these roles can really help grow it without adding to your revenue pressure. But it also makes people feel really good. And it's another way of binding them together because they're invested then. They've got skin in the game.
Another way to kind of keep people invested is to remind them that the forum's there. You know, use email reminders or subscriptions to threads, those type of tools to allow people to be notified by email that there's a discussion going on that they might want to be part of. So along with forums, another big aspect of a solid membership site is member-generated content.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, a complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So what exactly is member-generated content, Chris?
It's one of those things that you know it when you see it. If you've ever been to a site like Instructables, or if you've ever been to a site where you've downloaded knitting patterns and quilt patterns, that's member-generated content. We often consume member-generated content without really thinking about how and why it was created. Facebook is all member-generated content. Pinterest is all member-generated content. Instagram. So their product is the members' activity. And it's something that can really build a business, something that should be encouraged as long as you can do it right.
And one thing we use a lot because it's really effective for everybody is the Q&A, because it allows members to ask specific questions and it allows the expert in your community, whether that be you or other members of your organization, to answer those questions. And then that becomes content because in the future, other people that have similar questions, they can always ask those questions on a future Q&A, or they can listen to what you've already provided or read through what you've provided that gives them a way of getting their questions answered. So Q&As are a very powerful way to use user-created content.
Yeah, and I like the way it positions you as an expert, as a helpful expert, and it shows the value of your membership. And it's a reason for people to stick around, because as they progress, they'll have more questions. They'll have more advanced questions. And your membership will also have their own answers. So that's really good for promotion of them, their expertise. So if you ever have something like a forum or group coaching, the members are as important as you are. Their expertise and experiences are as important as you as the expert. So a way to do that is to promote great comments and give them extra visibility. Shine the spotlight on your members to show that it's not just you. Sean D'Souza is really good with this because he takes these long vacations. The membership he has, his community, know that he's going to be away for a while, but people still stick around because the group, the community, is as important as Sean is.
Yeah, and highlighting those experts in their area is a great way to make them feel like they're really giving back to the community. But it also shows the rest of the community that here's somebody that provides that, but also my area of expertise may be helpful and I want to contribute more. And another way to do that is through interviewing your members, right?
Yeah, it's not just about case studies. It's about their expertise and drawing it out and showing that, hey, we've curated a group of awesome people.
Yeah, when you start interviewing your members, you start to look at how your community is layered. And it's a great way to see, because interviewing beginners is just as effective as interviewing people that are more experts in the area, because you get to see this wide variety of people that are in the same place as members of your community, so that people can identify with all these different people and the questions and the problems and the solutions they're coming up with for their particular area, where they are in their expertise.
And it's obviously helpful if you've been instrumental in their success for that to come out, because that's great marketing. But it's not just proof. It's not just about convincing people how awesome you are. It's actually really good content. That before, during, and after is a great story. What was the problem? How did they solve it? What did they have to overcome? What was the outcome? That's great storytelling. That's great content in its own right.
And that leads on to case studies, because that's another way that you can use as an example of proof of what it is that you're providing helps people better their business and furthers them in their goals.
And that's inspiring, because they've signed up for a reason. They want to see other people succeed so that they know it's possible for them.
So those are some of the good things about the community. Let's look at some of the pitfalls that you can encounter.
Yeah, so we mentioned in the last episode some mistakes, but some of these pitfalls, they're just happen. You know, sometimes stuff happens and you need to be on the lookout for it. And I've alluded to the first one, which is empty restaurant syndrome. Nobody wants to go eat at a restaurant where nobody's already eating, but somebody has to be first. So what do you do?
And that's when you start seeding your community. And you can do that in a variety of ways. Charter programs, pilot programs, getting your staff involved. You want to get really good, juicy content into your community so that other people will add to it. And there's nothing worse than an empty forum. But you also don't want just a bunch of promotional content. So one of the benefits of an MVP or a charter program or a pilot program is you offer this in addition to allowing people to be the first ones in their community to start establishing what the forum looks like, what the community is like, the types of things we'll do, establishing rules and establishing behavior and how things are going to work. You allow your members and your customers to help shape that. And that's a good way to start building that up even right from the beginning.
And it's a great way to set that early tone, because the outcome of your community tone is based on you and your founder members, because you set the tone, you set the standard. And that's how you avoid a lot of the clashes and personality conflicts that can come later. Because by setting the standard and being an example and clamping down very quickly on anybody that steps out of line, you can keep it pure. And the worst thing about the clashes and personality conflicts, even more than the hurt feelings, is that people can tell when it's a hostile environment that's out of control. If you've ever been to the super political or super opinionated groups on Facebook or YouTube or anything like that, you don't want to go anywhere near them. And that's where the meme, "don't read the comments," came from. You don't want your environment to be like that. And it's because they've let it get out of control and it gives you a bad reputation, let alone the people that are causing it.
Right. We've moved from a not very engaging community to a toxic community at that point, where it's filled with trolls and spammers and crazy people and abuse. And once that spun out of control, really at that point, it's time to shut it down. I mean, that if you let it get that far, it's time to shut that forum, that community down. But there's ways to address it early on by establishing what is acceptable behavior and what will be tolerated and what won't be tolerated.
And to follow through with your threats, because it's zero tolerance in a nice way. It's about taking people to one side and saying, I realize there might be more to this. You might have had a bad day, but this is how it appears. You know, I acknowledge that you feel you've been unfairly treated, but let's see it from the community. And from my point of view, can you fix that? Because there has to be an adult. Somewhere there has to be an adult.
Yeah, because otherwise you have this toxic community that spirals out of control and you end up with a negative ROI, right?
Yep, a lot of work with very little reward. We've talked a lot about building a membership, building a community, and this last episode was all about keeping that community glue, keeping that community wanting to belong and wanting to interact with people. And it starts by being welcoming, not excluding people, making it easy to be a member, making it enjoyable and positive to be a member. And one of the major ways you can do that is allow people to introduce themselves, to ask any question they like, and have the community welcome them too. The forum should be welcoming. You should have a few busy, vibrant areas instead of masses of topics with no questions and no activity. Nobody likes empty restaurant syndrome. So that relies on user-generated content and encouraging good, positive communication.
In our next episode, we're going to start a brand new series on smarter product creation strategies.